Good afternoon, my Sunday Drive Talkers. I'm so glad to be on with you. This is your host, Dr. William P. Butler, and we are on another rendition of the Sunday Drive Talk. I'm so glad that you are able to tune in, and we have an interesting topic for you on today. What we're going to be talking about is whether or not devil worshipers are able to be saved. Many people have heard lots of things about devil worshipers, but the key is they, being associated with the devil, have a strange and unique image, especially to those who are of the kingdom of God. So, and before we go into this, and as we get ready to go forward, I want to ask you guys and encourage you that if you have any questions, comments, amusing anecdotes, suggestions, or complaints, feel free to jump in or shoot a text message to 865-306-6362, and we will get your question on the air. We would love to hear from you and make sure that everything is going fine with you. So please, ma'am, please, sir, please make sure that you give us a contact as soon as possible. So the question is, what is a devil worshiper? We are living in the very, very dark times, and it is becoming more and more popular for people to discuss and to imitate the world, the ages, the actions, and the image of darkness. People have now not wanted to dress up like princesses and queens and kings and things. People now want to dress up like vampires. They want to dress up like werewolves. They want to be warlocks and Harry Potter and Doctor Strange. And, you know, they actually want to become heroes that actually cast spells. They now have mixed the idea of turning a good type of evil into a mainstream thought process where people now go to a movie and the villain is now the hero, where people who are recognized as vampires, in the case of the movie called Blade, where Blade is actually a vampire who is supposedly from origin was supposed to be recognized as a demonic thing, and vampires were seen as people who sucked life and suck life-giving blood away from people, as seen as a demon type activity, has now been amalgamated into a hero platform where he is mixed with the good people or the humans, and now he actually fights as an inner war against himself and an outer war against the vampires that he believes created him. This has turned into a mindset where people actually think that evil is good. This is a situation where we have a mindset where there is going to have to be a change of a world image, and that is something that is very, very difficult to do, because when the world actually wants darkness and we are children of the light, it creates an oxymoron, if you would, where we as children of God who are called to share that light are now surrounded around people who don't want to receive it. This is weird, because what are you going to do? How are we going to interface with this? How do we even come to the world and have that discussion? Well, some of those questions we might be able to ask and answer on today. Some of them maybe not, but we will do as much as we can over the next 25 minutes to try to answer whatever we can. So as we go forward, what in the world is a devil worshiper? Well, Devil worship, or as we call Luciferianism, came and started with with Lucifer himself, who was an angel of light created by God and in heaven at one time. He desired to exalt his throne higher than the Most High, and he competed with the image and the essence of God to the point to where he was kicked out of heaven, cast down to earth, and now exacts his revenge against God by trying to lure and convince God's creation to follow him. God now creates the great, great test of life, which is for us to be able to choose whether we will follow God or the devil. And this is the conundrum. At root definition, a person will be a satanic worshiper or a worshiper of God. If you worship yourself, that is something that is kin to worshiping the devil, because he desires that you worship anything other than God. Matter of fact, Luciferians actually say that they do not believe in a deity, and they believe in self-exaltation. So they believe themselves to be God. Lucifer has said that not only does he want to be God, but he tries to make that same mentality in the mind of others to where they will actually try to be God themselves. This has creeped even into so-called pseudo-Christian sects of divisions and denominations, where many so-called churches that are coming up that actually have a mixed view of that, where there are some thought processes that actually come from the Satanic Bible or directly from Luciferianism. So the idea that Lucifer wanted to make himself God is the definition and the deep core root of what Luciferianism is, and it causes people to want to follow Luciferianism in order to exalt themselves and make themselves God. It is weird that the Bible actually says in Scripture, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So in order for a person to really truly believe that, there's got to be something wrong. You know, he warned us about this. He told us about this. He even described who Lucifer was and where he came from. How in the world can the Bible be so accurate and we still miss it? This is just absolutely amazing to me. But nonetheless, when we begin to look at this, we find that there is still God's will and his plan. Darkness doesn't overpower light. Light overpowers darkness. So the question is, when a person has pledged allegiance to God, how in the world, can this person ever fathom the idea of someone else who has pledged allegiance to the devil turning a new leaf, flipping, their life over and choosing to follow God? How can a person do that? You know, is that possible? I mean, if you pledge your life to the devil, is it possible for a person to totally abandon that life and turn themselves over in order to come and serve and sit and become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Is it possible? Now, I think that's a good question. Matter of fact, I want to leave that open on the floor. If a person pledges their life to the devil, does that mean that they're lost forever? Or are they able to be saved at this time? Anybody? Any thoughts, feel free to chime in or shoot a text message to 865-306-6362. Let's see what you got. Check the airways. I've got text messages coming in, and I've got a little bit of information on what I'm hearing. Someone said, I think a devil worshiper can be saved if they ask forgiveness and never go back to their old ways and they follow God. Even if the rapture came, I think that people could still be saved, but they would have to die for God first. Now, this person has evidently been reading the Bible and have done a little bit of checking, because there are a few things that we have to keep in mind. You must remember that the blood of Jesus actually covers the entire world for salvation to men who would believe on him in order to be saved. The difference is that the presence of God actually fills the heart of men and supersizes our efforts to be able to accomplish that task in our everyday life. Now, the church age, even though it started at the day of Pentecost after Jesus had already died and the disciples were praying in the upper room, the presence of God on this earth is not perpetual, continual, forever. It's only for a limited time only, and will only last until the rapture. So during this time especially, it is possible for a person who has been worshiping the devil to find out the truth and the joy and the peace and the love and gain a true relationship with Jesus Christ and change. Now, let's look at a few examples here, shall we? First of all, you can take Mary Magdalene. who actually had seven demons in her that was cast out. And when those demons were cast out, she chose to follow Jesus. Now, this is important because a person who worships the devil has submitted themselves to the influence and the control of the devil, which is very similar to the possession that Mary Magdalene went through. She was being possessed and controlled by demons. And it doesn't say whether or not she willingly gave in to it or whatnot, you know, how often she prayed or what she did black magic. And it didn't go all into that. But the fact of the matter was that she had seven demons that were in her, and then all of a sudden Jesus came and allowed her an opportunity to be rescued. And once those demons were out of her, she went and committed her life to, in order to follow Jesus Christ. This is amazing because she sets an awesome example of what God can actually do in a person. My next example is going to be Paul the Apostle. When you look at Paul the Apostle, Paul the Apostle actually was a bounty hunter who hunted down Christians, brought them back to Rome, accused them of being fanatics against the kingdom of Rome. And the issue is that they were hung up, strung up, and killed for treason. And so he were getting all of these Christians killed, and he knew enough about their faith in order to twist it and use heresy in order to convict them against the truth. And this was uniquely important because of the way that God wanted his truth to be spread, that Jesus Christ himself allowed an encounter to occur with Paul the Apostle and caused him to convert his way. And he was able to accept Christ for himself and see what God could do in his life. And because of that impact, he now, when he changed from actually serving the efforts and the energies and presenting an image that was pleasing to Satan, to convert his life to now become one of the greatest evangelists and apostles in the entire Bible, and even allowed God to inspire him to pen 2/3 of the New Testament. So this is a very, very big importance when you look at wondering whether or not a person who is influenced by evil, being run by the devil, being controlled by something that was wrong, can they actually do good now? It is possible for a person who was doing evil to now do good. You must remember that God, amen, is in the process of taking those who come to him. He says in the Bible, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is the purpose of Jesus in the lives of people, that if you give your burdens to him, it is he that will convert those that darkness into a direction of awesome light that accomplishes great glory for the kingdom. This is amazing and can most definitely be done the right way. So we must make sure we do our best to accomplish this and to make sure we can accomplish it in a stellar way. If we do not give the exact image of salvation, then we will be guilty of denying people of the one true opportunity of salvation that only comes through Jesus Christ. He is salvation to the entire world, to those who will believe. The key is if a person will choose to really believe. And if they choose to really believe, then the Spirit of God can save them. This is weird because we think about the fact that when a person has in the Bible turned away from God or the truth that they know and have now committed themselves to the devil. This goes into a deep conversation about revelations even, because the Bible talks about how in the latter days that the Antichrist is going to rise up. He's going to control the banking industry and currency, and he's going to basically mandate that and declare himself God. And when he does so, he will force people to choose and actually say, if you are going to buy or sell anything, you must accept the mark of the beast on your right hand or on your forehead. And if that is the case, then that is going to be a problem for the believers because we choose not to ever submit to the devil, no matter what. If we can't buy ourselves food, then we won't, because we won't choose to lessen that. Well, for people who give their heart, they sell their soul to the devil, now what happens? See, this is very important. The issue we must keep in mind is when a person has taken that mark and gone that way, they will fall under the strong influence of the devil. Now, in the book of Revelations, it talks about them almost being doomed, if you would, if they do that, in a way that gives the tone of there will be no hope for them of being able to turn their heart back to Christ. Now, the reason why it gives that tone is because of the fact that many of the believers who already are believers and who know the truth, who are standing against the truth, the Bible says that the Antichrist and his system will be so convincing that even the very, very elect, those who are strong in God, wise in God, seeking God, honoring God, who know a whole lot about God, teaching about God, preaching about God, will be, many of them will even be fooled. And so if many of them are going to be fooled at the time that the rapture happens, after that period, the Holy Spirit will not be on the planet. And so you won't have that extra supernatural help to accomplish God's living practices and his unction in your life in such a way. And so this is going to be scary and a dangerous time, because if a person submits their heart and their lives to the devil at that time, they will not have that extra help to break away from that pull, the overwhelming urge. This Holy Spirit of God that is on the earth right now has it in the nice view that it is right now. And because iniquity is abounding and people are choosing to do evil, the world is becoming darker. What happens when the Holy Spirit is gone away and now the influence of the devil has supersized because of the absence of Jesus Christ and the power of God's presence being absent on the earth? That will create such an urge that makes almost an overwhelming difficulty for a person to ever understand truth, or much less want to turn to it. This is the reason why it strongly forbids us from taking the mark of the beast on our hands, on our forehead, because we gain a relationship through the commitment we have through Jesus Christ as we choose to seek his will, serve his will, honor his will, be what he wants, that we may be able to honor him the best way possible. This is how we serve God. This is how we honor God. This is how we do what is going to be the most pleasing in his sight. This is the reason why it is important right now that if you know people that are devil worshipers or the atheists, that you pray for an opportunity for a door to open that they might be able to receive the truth or see it in some way, because now is the time. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, so we should do our best to try to accept Jesus Christ and allow him the overwhelming change that we can experience in life. Now, that being said, I know that that was a mouthful, but there is so much more to talk about as well. We look at whether or not a Satanist or a Luciferian or a devil worshiper is able to be saved. We must ask ourselves, you know, who is actually doing the saving? Now, we see certain things that happens in people's lives, and we say, you know what, I'll never forgive that person if they do this. I'll never trust that person if they do that. But it is God who looks at the heart of a man and sees whether or not they are sincere in their heart to want to serve him. It is he who has to choose to rescue that person from that pit of darkness if they really sincerely need it. And it's also Jesus Christ who is going to sit at the judgment seat and be able to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." So it is important that we not involve our personal feelings when it comes down to the choices that God is going to put on the lives of those who will be affected when it comes down to the judgment seat of Christ. It even tells us to pray for those often that have darkness in their lives, especially if they are evil ones who are attacking us. The Bible says, "Bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you for my name's sake," in Matthew chapter 5. But in the midst of that, we must remember that we are are here in order to promote his presence, in order to create a system that teaches people truth and helps them to understand how that they might be saved. This is what our overwhelming desire and our commitment to Christ actually is. Now, my question is, what about Christians? Are we wise enough, prepared enough? Are we bold enough or willing enough to even be able to pray for a devil worshiper, hope for a devil worshiper? Are we patient enough that if a devil worshiper did have questions, that we'd be willing to listen carefully and talk carefully so that we don't misguide that person, but we do our best to try to send them towards the truth? Are we able to do that? I want you guys to think about that for a moment. What happens if we, in a fragile life of a devil worshiper, trying to understand whether or not it's possible for a person to really live for Jesus Christ, who he was taught to hate, and we have a person who knows the truth, who understands Scripture, but they choose to be a bad example of that truth? What happens to the heart and the mind of that devil worshiper? How do they now have to experience the difficulties of understanding the love of God truly in their hearts because someone just didn't like them because they were different or mistreated them because they were off? The difference is Christians are called by God to understand truth, to walk in love, but also to very carefully be able to stand against evil while still loving the person who committed it. This is the job of the presence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. It causes you to do good things even though you're in a bad situation, that we can be in the world and not be of the world. This is God's desire, is that we set an example to where even devil worshipers will say, I want what happened to her. I want what happened to him to happen to me. All right? And many times we look at devil worshipers and say, oh, that person is so evil. They this, that, and the other, da, 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 da. But many devil worshipers are just looking for a place where they can have a sense of belonging. They're looking for a place because they were misfits and they were leftovers and they were disrespected by people that they thought that they really could trust, and nobody actually showed genuine love or care towards them whatsoever. And when they found an opportunity, they went the wrong way. How many women desire to be cared about by a man and chose to actually be with someone who was actually evil just because of something good that they wanted? How many children have abandoned their households and run off with gangs all because they wanted to be accepted, and the only friends that they saw were the wrong crowd? How many people have gotten hooked up with drug communities of people because they were looking just for a friend and somebody that they could connect with, and they had no one there? And so the person who gave them that time was someone who was the wrong type of person and got them connected with the wrong type of stuff that now is going to take them down the wrong path. And now their life is inexorably ended early because of the lack of the impact of the fruit of the Spirit that comes from the Spirit of God that is created for the people of God who will just give into that Spirit so that we can accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. This is our purpose. It is our job to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we should go out and boldly, excitedly, and surely, carefully, but lovingly, declare the truth of God with every step we take, with every move that we make, with every hand that we shake, so that we can give the best image for Christ's sake. This is our job. And if we do it right, the kingdom of God will spread because a picture is worth a thousand words. What would the world be like if every Christian posted positive things? If every Christian exercised patience? If every Christian was unselfish? If every Christian, when they got scared, they actually prayed to God to get rid of their fear instead of getting angry and frustrated at each other and assuming that their coworker was against them, their best friend didn't like them? If every Christian went to church and actually sought to carry out the kingdom work of God when they were there instead of personal agendas? if every believer would actually follow their belief other than the fad of foolishness that encompasses some believers, what would the world be like? If every time they saw a believer in Jesus Christ, they saw the true image of Christ as it was intended. This is the engine, the mechanism. This is the magnifying glass for the light of Christ that the church was meant to be. And if we do this right, then and only then will we become a lighthouse that shines so much light that even in the darkest heart of a devil worshiper, they will be able to see Christ and say, you know, Jesus, when you enter into your Father's kingdom, remember me. And I'm sure the Spirit of God will embrace their heart and their mind and say, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the job of every Christian. I think that we ought to take a step back and look at all of our actions throughout the week and the month and make sure that we choose to have joy with things that actually bring glory to the kingdom of God more than to our personal agendas and our own feelings and things. Are you ready? Because time is winding up. We're in the Super Bowl. We're going lining up for the home stretch. And that means we've got to put our best on. We've got to sprint to the end and make sure that we impact as many lives as we can, because soon as ever soon, our time is winding. Oh, thank you so much for tuning in on today. You have been such a fantabulous audience. And if you ever have any additional questions about these topics, feel free to contact us at 865-306-6362 or shoot a text message to there. Reach out to me on Facebook. You can reach me at Facebook. .com/PastorWButler, and you will be able to converse with me, put some information out there on the feed. We would love to hear from you. Our website is www.myrockbc.org, and we would love to check you out and have you fellowship with us. You can ask Bible questions and whatever you put out there. We will do our best to try to get it to our listening audience so that they can be tuned in as well. If you're ever in the Morristown, Tennessee area, just outside of Knoxville, we would love to have you to come and visit us and fellowship with us. We are located at 420 West 13th North Street in Morristown, Tennessee, 37814. Our worship services are, we have an outreach Bible study and breakfast that we do on Sunday mornings at 9:30. You're welcome to join us. It'll have similar teachings just like this, and it will bless you. Very good. You can come on out. Breakfast is already provided at 11 o'clock every single Sunday morning. We have an awesome worship service featuring yours truly. I have a preach message. Our choir will be singing, and lots of fellowship. So come on out and have a fantastic time. If you're interested, you also can reach out to us because we started a mentoring program. What young person doesn't need a mentor? What parent doesn't need another adult to take part in their child's life in order to influence them in a better direction to accomplish good things? This is our purpose, and it should be our overwhelming desire and need. I think that it will bless you and encourage you and help you to consider this. If you have any of those questions, feel free to reach out and give me a holler. Like I said, you can reach me at 865-306-6362. Until next time, remember that we love you, but God loves you best. Make sure you have a victorious week in Jesus. And our motto at our church is, we love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. God bless you and go in peace.